AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Does it feel like the show is starting a little late today? No? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. The wheat market had a tough time holding on to early session price gains. Corn barely closed on the plus side of unchanged. The bean oil market pulled bean prices lower. And cattle trade could not ignore a big-time rally in this morning's beef trade.
Live from the day with a little extra night via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Pat Von Tersch from Professional Ag Marketing. Later, Kerry Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com. Directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chap Lowry.
Yeah, I like that. A little extra nighttime.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Today. Yeah, it's happening as we speak. It looks weird out there. I'll admit, it does look weird. We've got kind of the right amount of cloud cover that if you do have the glasses, you can look up and you can. I mean, I could see it. It's pretty cool. I know this. The turkeys and the wood ducks are very confused.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of gobbling happened. Happening, and the wood duck weeping is something that you normally don't hear until they're flying the crick line at night.
The wildlife here in Kansas City is a little unsettled this afternoon. I got the neighbors blasting Pink Floyd in the backyard next door. That's about the extent of it there. I'd rather hear the turkeys.
Is this some sort of a predictable behavior or not?
From time to time, yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
Anytime there's an astrological event, we all update our Pink Floyd listening over here.
Love it.
Might as
love
well be Wham, as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather it was Wham, to be honest.
Oh.
How's that?
Holy
smokes. Let the Twitter conversation begin.
On that one. Wow. Wow. All right. Welcome. Glad that you are with us on this eclipse afternoon, Monday afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Pat Von Tersch. You know, I'm not exactly sure what Pat and I are going to talk about yet, but I know we're going to find something to talk about.
You know the show's already started, right?
No, well, yeah, yeah.
But the reason,
there is a reason that I'm saying this, that I'm saying that, is because I think we're both still kind of trying to figure out exactly where the conversation is going to take us today. We're going to let this thing go, and we'll see what happens. But we'll explain here in a little bit when we get Pat on. All right, let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Well, Chip, wheat futures were trading higher at mid-morning, but backed off session highs with soft red winter wheat futures turning lower on the day. May SRW futures opened higher, but stopped short of a full test of resistance at Friday's high before turning back to the downside to test support at 560. Front month SRW posted an inside trading day with a mid-range close. Export inspections of wheat week ended April 4 totaled nearly 498,000 metric tons. Chip, that was at the high end of trade expectations. July HRW wheat futures a nickel higher today, 584 and a half. July SRW wheat down a penny and a quarter to 580 and one half. July spring wheat closed at 659. That's up 2.5 today, Chip.
I think the wheat traders were probably disappointed that the market did not do a better job of holding on to the early gains that we saw in that market. So it might have been a bit disappointing in the wheat trade today.
Well, export inspections of corn week ended April 4 totaled 1.42 million metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations. The slide in wheat futures allowed corn prices to pull back into late trade to post a mid-range close. May corn futures are in the middle of a six-week sideways trading range. Traders are working to understand a variety of news reports coming from China that range from efforts to discourage use of imported corn to supporting domestic prices and production, to reports that China faces a production bottleneck with limited opportunity to expand production. May corn futures 1 1/4 cents higher, 435 and a half. July corn up 3/4 of 1 cent, 447 and a half. December corn futures closed at 473, up 0.5 cent. China, Chip.
Some Chinese officials saying, hey, we got to do what we can to support Chinese production. Other officials saying, we really can't support more Chinese production because we don't have a whole lot of opportunity to increase production. I don't know where that's going to end up.
Export inspections of soybeans week ended April 4 totaled just over 484,000 metric tons, and that was in line with trade expectations. Soybean meal futures held on to gains through the close, but solid losses in soybean oil futures pulled bean prices lower. Malaysian palm oil prices were lower for a third consecutive session overnight, dragging bean oil prices lower. May soybean futures opened higher and spiked resistance at Friday's high before turning low and to close near session lows. Position squaring in bean prices is likely ahead of USDA's update to South American bean crop estimates. In Thursday's supply and demand report, May beans 3.5 lower, 1181.5. July beans down 2.5, 1194 at a quarter. November beans closed at 1184 and one quarter, down 0.5 cents. Here's this S&D report sneaking up on us, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. And position evening. I mean, we thought that we probably had seen some position evening last week, and when we get the commitment of traders report, there wasn't a whole lot of short covering.
July cotton today was 57 points higher, 88.39. On your livestock's heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices shot $4.59 higher this morning, with select graded boxes up $6.78. Movement was slow at just 44 loads, but the sharp rally suggests beef prices have gotten too low to reflect market fundamentals. June cattle posted an inside trading day with the low range open and the high range closed. June cattle $1.27.5 higher, 173.32.5. May feeder futures $1 lower, 237.17.5. And finally, on the snout side, June lean hogs were just slightly higher after pushing to a new contract high earlier in the session. May hogs 32.5 higher, 97.87. June contract up 2.5, 107.92.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, I'm outside. I'm waiting for the eclipse to come by, so we're looking pretty good.
Well, it'll be there any moment.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be, yeah.
No doubt. All right. So, hey, what are you watching in the grain markets this week? We got the reports coming up on Thursday. Is that kind of got your attention?
Yeah, well, it kind of has to, because there sure wasn't a whole lot going on today. We do have the crop condition ratings coming out any minute now. That could be notable, but I don't really think so. I think wheat condition is going to hang in there pretty well, even with the drought out west. And the progress for corn and soybeans are going to be seasonally pretty slow, but still there. So I don't really look for any fireworks from that. And then really the next thing coming up is Thursday. And I don't really expect too much in the way of fireworks from that either. But you never know. You could be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's when the markets start to lull you to sleep. You've seen it a million times. That's when you need to be prepared for a big move.
Yes, sir. And given how sideways this thing has been at lower prices, I suspect the next move is going to be up. But I could be surprised there as well.
the funds are showing an amazing resilience to stay on the short side of the market, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They've been short for a long time. They've got a lot of money made. You'd think they'd want to book some of this money and get some money off the table, and they really haven't done much of that at all.
That's right. That's right. All right, get back to the eclipse. Don't let it get away from you, okay?
Absolutely not. I'm out.
All right, buddy. All right, that's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Pat Von Tersch. He's the founder of Professional Ag Marketing. What are we watching? What should we be watching? Is it even worth watching? We'll talk about it next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Dude.
Yeah?
An eerie silence has fallen over the outside here in Kansas City.
Did the electricity go out?
The Floyd stopped. But there's no birds either.
Oh.
It's dead quiet outside, bro. There's nothing out there.
Nothing. Wow.
Nothing. Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you. You know, I think the animals are telling us something about how we've complicated our existence.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Yeah. Well, you know, like with the turkeys. Can you imagine what their life is like? Every day the sun comes up, they decide it's time to gobble and go get something to eat.
Okay.
All right. Well, look.
Well, how do you know when you're done?
Sun's going down. Sun's going down. Time to gather everybody up around my roostery, get something to eat, go to sleep, gobble.
You know, and come to think of it, now I don't know a whole lot of turkeys, but I've never seen one with a wristwatch. I'll be honest with you.
There you go.
You got something there.
You see? Look at how they have simplified their lives. Something to be learned from the turkeys in the world, boys. Something to be learned. Yep. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
You know, you also got to watch. You know, you don't hear about it much, but you got to watch out for the jive turkeys.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. I didn't know exactly how to work it all in.
Not just any turkey will do. Jive turkeys, careful.
Careful. Be careful. All right. Let's bring in Pat Von Tersch, founder of Professional Ag Marketing. Pat, it is good to talk to you.
How do you do better than turkeys with a Rolex? I'm not sure we can even talk that.
Turkeys with a Rolex. You know,
I don't know why this guy jumps straight to Rolex. I'm over here with a Timex myself.
That's a successful bird right there.
Something's going right.
Oh, shoot. Pat, how are things?
It's going well. We were just commenting, though. It couldn't be any more cloudy here in southwest Minnesota. I mean, just short of rainfall, we couldn't have missed this eclipse any more than we could have tried here. It's kind of amazing, but be pretty quite the sight to see in other parts of the country, as I understand.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. 2017, it happened during crop tour week, and we were out on the road in the area of totality. Okay. We were making our way from Yankton. I should say from Sioux Falls, over through Yankton down to Grand Island. And I think that was the day anyway. It was right away on Monday. And the eclipse was happening, and there was cars parked all over the place. We had trouble getting hotel rooms for all the crop scouts in Grand Island because of all the eclipse observers that were making their way to central Nebraska. It was quite the event. I mean, it dumped a pile of money into those local economies, Pat. There's no question about that.
Yeah, pretty interesting, isn't it?
It's
neat to kind of have something like that for everyone to rally around just a bit, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. That, you got the men's basketball championship game tonight. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. It's been an exciting tournament, and also on the women's side, the Hawkeyes came up short yesterday, but that's quite a story too, isn't it, Chip?
Yes, it certainly was. Something for the Hawkeyes to be proud of, no doubt about it. In the way that they performed this year. And like I said, when I was talking to Senator Grassley this morning on the AAM show, Pat, I said, and congratulations to South Carolina. Hey, a perfect season. How often does that kind of a thing happen where you get the moon, the stars, and the sun to all align in the right direction and get a perfect season in the books. Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that seemed to be a bit of a secondary story, too. That's what's amazing about it.
Yeah.
That's quite a feat, no doubt about it.
Yep. Okay, buddy. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in these grain markets. You said it in the note that you sent earlier today. Boy, and Jack said it too. There just was not a lot happening in the grains today, was there?
There's not a lot going on in the grains today, and there hasn't been for a while. And I do think it's worth noting that that things are a little bit different this year compared to the last 3 or 4 years. You know, you mentioned that eclipse in 2017, and you know, during the summer there, 2 years later, in August of 2019, with that derecho in Iowa, was really the start of a tightening balance sheet for an extended period of time. And I remember that summer vividly as well, as it changed the prospects for the balance sheet that year, which was up until August forecasted to be quite burdensome. And we really ended up with a tight balance sheet globally for the next 3 years after that, and 4 years now. And so now, as we look at what's going on this winter, Chip, and we had a significant reduction in terms of corn acres relative to trade expectations, and the market just kind of shrugged it off here a little bit. So it's interesting. We're definitely in a different spot today as it relates to how interested the market is in different news. And I think as risk managers and as producers, we need to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that things are a little different than what they have been the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because the markets aren't showing a lot of commitment, to a trend in either direction doesn't mean that you can lose focus on what's happening in these markets. So does it? I mean, you got to pay attention, because any kind of a breakout in either direction is going to have a long-term implication on your bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we get into these times where the stock situations are a little bit more comfortable than not, we also have to be quick to be able to pull the trigger and make some decisions that make sense for your business. And oftentimes in these types of markets, that opportunity can be around today and not tomorrow. And especially as we're on the eve of starting our spring season here in a good portion of the Corn Belt, that's certainly something to keep in mind, is that this is the time of year where if the markets want to show a little bit of life, this is the time that they do that. And we've got to be ready to take advantage of opportunities if they present themselves. And, you know, your guys' discussion earlier, Chip, about what's going on as relates to index funds and managed money and your point of resilience in terms of their resilience in terms of maintaining their short position.
Yeah.
That can change pretty quickly. And when it does, you can get some real volatility in these markets as a result.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So be prepared for it. Don't be surprised when it does happen.
Right.
Okay. So you mentioned we go through this period of kind of a lackluster attitude in the grains until we get to August of 2019 and the derecho hits in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, parts of Nebraska. Should have started over there. And all told, I don't know, maybe we lost a billion bushels of corn, something like that. But it was a big enough loss that it changed attitudes. And it was a change on the supply side of the market that changed the attitude in the markets. Is that where the change is going to have to come from to turn prices back to the upside? Or can we somehow, some way, survive this well enough to get to the point that that demand can lift us?
Yeah. And so it was that was the beginning of a string of below trend line yield events, both in the Northern Hemisphere here and down in South America. And I, I do think that, especially as we went through last year with what I would argue was sub-trend weather. I mean, we were, you know, under drought status for a pretty good portion, especially here in the Western Corn Belt, and still somehow managed to achieve a record yield here in the U.S. and follow that up with a pretty nicely sized crop down in South America. And so it certainly seems as though we've transitioned into a little bit better weather patterns, but also the technological advancements and the ability of particularly the American producer, but of producers everywhere to continue to get better at what they do has certainly changed the look of the balance sheet here. And so while that doesn't mean that we can't have weather problems again this summer and likely will have some concerns that the market will want to react to, we're probably in a situation where, you know, we've doubled projected ending stocks year over year on corn, and we're probably in a situation where the market is just a little bit less sensitive to any weather problems that might
appear. Right. Okay. Less sensitive to the weather problems, but could we still get some kind of a reaction? We'll talk about that when we come back. Pat Von Tersch here on AgriTalk.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were a nickel higher at 584 and one half. July SRW wheat down 1 penny and one quarter to 580 and one half. May corn futures were 1 1/4 cents higher at 435 and a half. December corn futures closed at 473. That's up a whole half cent today. May soybean futures were 3 1/2 cents lower at 1181 and a half. November beans closed at 1184 and one quarter, down 1/2 cent on the day. July cotton today, 57 points higher, 88.39. On your livestocks, June fat cattle were $1.27.5 higher at 173.32.5. May feeders $1 lower, 237.17.5. June lean hog futures up a whole 2.5 cents on the day to close at 107.92.5. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I bet Pat was wishing that there's not a cloud in sight so that they could see the sun and what's going on up there in southern Minnesota. Pat Von Tersch is our guest analyst today on Eclipse Day 2024. Pat is the founder of Professional Ag Marketing. At the end of the last segment, talking about what we need to do to kind of prepare for this summer's trading, and Even though, and I agree. I said the same thing last year at this time, Pat, that I just felt that the markets were going to be, it would be very difficult to generate much of a weather-driven rally in the grain markets because of the way that the corn market, or the corn crop in particular, has shown its ability to produce through less than ideal conditions. It seems like, geez, man, we're set up for it. It could be a long growing season if it's not ideal out there for a lot of guys, because the corn market might not react.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you, I mean, as after we've built stocks here year over year, and that cushion that's been created or established, it does certainly improve or increase the threat of that, right? Of regions of the country, you know, suffering through average or below average crops and the market not reacting the way that it normally should to that. That threat is certainly there, Chip. And I suppose we have that risk most every year, but it's heightened a little bit here with some more burdensome stocks. I do think, you know, we are going to be able to find some opportunities for some improved demand. We're going to find out again, you know, how elastic corn demand is with some of these lower values here. Already seen a little bit, Chip, in some heavier cattle weights, to put it mildly, and expect that we'll start to see that in the hog sector as well. So we'll see a little extra demand as a result of some positive margins on the livestock side of things. But we're also going to have to work pretty hard, I think, to stimulate some demand in some other spots.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, those cattle weights, that's one spot that is definitely using up some more corn. When we're talking about weights, I don't know what they were last week, but they were like 24 pounds above year ago the week before. It was like adding another 12,500 head to the weekly slaughter total just with the extra weight that we were putting on the cattle, Pat. That's a big number.
That's a real number, 29 pounds, not split hairs. After last week's data, I can add another 4 or 5 to it, Chip. Pretty amazing. So, and 20 pounds above the 5-year average as well. So you're exactly right. And for that cattle feeder, it's you're pretty motivated to try to add weight to the critter in the pen instead of going out and paying for another feeder out there. So would expect that to continue in terms of heavier weights as we go forward here.
Yeah. Yeah. Did the box beef trade this morning, like $4.50 up on the choice heavies, select up more than $6.50. That to me, Pat, you beef market doesn't make a move like that unless the beef just got too cheap, right?
Exactly right. And having boxed beef values, catch something here this morning. And by the way, you know, pork cut out, that was up close to $4, $3.74 higher on the morning report on the hog side of things. Yeah, it's impressive, and continue to see some very nice disappearance in the protein sector there. And the cattle space needed that after the last couple weeks of sell-off here. We have seen some pretty significant spreading between hogs and cattle, and that probably made some sense too, Chip. That relationship had reach some historically wide levels, hogs being pretty cheap relative to cattle. And so we've seen those spreads narrow up a little bit on the board here. But, you know, we've also heard some talk of that taking place here in the retail sector as well, starting to see a little bit more pork featuring going on as some retail beef prices have elevated. But I'll tell you what, that consumer is very resilient here in terms of purchasing power and able and willing to absorb some of these higher prices here to continue to move product. It's very impressive indeed.
Okay. So what does that mean for this cattle market? I want to think that if we can get a rally like that of the beef trade, get the price reaction that we did out of live cattle and even feeder cattle futures, but it makes me feel like the futures market is at least going to have to stabilize here for a bit and take in what is happening in the cash market, right?
Well, supplies are going to remain tight all the way through here, heavier weights notwithstanding. And
okay.
You know, smallest Gallahertz since 1952, and all of the things that we've talked a lot about for a while. And these are all things that the market's keenly aware of. And it rallied hard, through the first part or the middle part of September there last fall. And then obviously a very significant break going down into the December timeframe. And then we posted another nice rally and thought maybe we could set some new highs for the move in the middle of March, and then that significant sell-off again. And so I expect that we'll continue to see some volatility like we've seen, like I just tried to describe there. But
yeah,
but you know, overall, beef supplies are going to remain tight. And we're really, Chip, not in a spot yet where we see any significance in terms of rebuilding herd and keeping some heifers back. And so, you know, when that happens, we'll just see supplies just tighten up even more. And so, you know, quite optimistic that we'll be able to hold these higher values as we go. And we should continue to see some nice rallies in this beef complex as a result.
Okay. You like that hog market, Pat?
You know, in fact, I'll just say this about the hog market and the cattle market. All of the fundamental things that we talk about, the market also is trading, right? So I like the hog market a lot.
Good
here.
Good point.
And would just, you know, if we just took a little bit of a step back, we haven't seen significant liquidation in terms of the breeding stock quite yet. We have seen some improvement in productivity for sure, but demand is really good. I mentioned pork featuring relative to higher beef retail prices, and we've got a smaller sow herd in Europe. There's been some liquidation of breeding stock in China, and so you know globally protein supplies are tighter. And we saw some real nice export data last week on the pork side of things. And we continue to print higher numbers on cutout as well as higher numbers on cash. So, we put together a little chart for our clients here last week, but it showed sometime in the last couple of weeks, we finally intersected the spot market in terms of making money again on a spot pig. It's been a long haul here, other than a few weeks there last summer. This has been a 15-month challenge as it relates to margins in the hog industry, Chip. But we're just finally turning the corner here, and prospects are looking better as we look into the balance of 2024 here and into 2025.
Okay, so you've got that back on the positive side of the margins. We're trading up here around contract highs, or at contract highs. Does that make you want to get some downside protection in place in the summer months?
Well, absolutely. And it'd be foolish to suggest that some of that hasn't occurred already, given the opportunity. You know, and when you look at this market, July traded over 110 today, like you said, new high for the move, contract highs and all of that. Well, you got to go back a few years and there's a couple different times over the last 7 to 9 years or so where that market can trade up another $5 or $7, but boy, it doesn't happen for very long and it doesn't happen very often. And so, yeah, this is a pretty unique opportunity and probably makes some sense to continue to reward what the market's offering here today and even out into the fourth quarter and taking a look at the first quarter of 2025 as well. It's certainly a nice opportunity relative to history, at least.
Right. Right. If you're going to do something in hogs or cattle right now to protect that downside, and I'm not locking you into anything here, Pat, what do you want people looking at as far as the strategy goes on risk management in cattle and hogs?
Yeah, well, there's some real nice tools out there today. The livestock risk protection insurance is a good tool to utilize in terms of putting some floors in. And certainly some nice hedging strategies to utilize on the board today. And I really like utilizing some type of an option strategy here, particularly not just on the revenue side, but also, you know, some opportunities here to, you know, we talked in the first session there about what's going on in the grain markets. And I really like using options over there, protect ourselves from a weather scare sticking, but still allowing for the possibility of booking some corn at some lower values as we go through the growing season. So there's some real nice, attractive alternatives that are available to us today. And sure, I'd encourage anyone to take a look.
Perfect. Perfect. Pat, great conversation. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Pat Von Tursch, founder of Professional Ag Marketing. We've got Kerry Artak next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
This is like my favorite rock band ever.
Soundgarden. In my eyes, indisposed, in
disguises no one knows, has the face. I saw
there
him
it
at
is.
Lollapalooza 96 at the grandstand.
96?
That's right, the Iowa State Fairgrounds.
Were you
Fairgrounds.
Eight?
I was just out of grammar school. Actually, I had skipped out of geometry to go check.
Wow.
Wow. My ears are still ringing.
That's a good one right there.
I think I was forever changed and I didn't realize it until just now.
I think I was at that one too, but it was the one in, you know, Chicago.
Oh, no kidding.
I think so. It was a
great lineup. Metallica was headlining that year. Rage Against the Machine, Shaolin Kung Fu.
I'd have to dig up the t-shirt.
Well, in fact, I even saw on a side stage there, side note, a very young aspiring Ben Folds. Any of you piano geeks out there might know he went on to do some very great things with the piano, and I saw him at the Iowa State Fairgrounds.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They'll be
trying to recover from my Soundgarden
set. At the Bill Riley stage?
No. He was just out there playing. Just standing around playing piano.
So it could have been the Bill Riley stage. You don't know.
It could have been. Could have been.
It's hard to carry one of those around.
No sign of that dude from Saturday Night Live, though. Gary Kroger. No sign of Gary Kroger at the time. So
okay.
Might
All
not
right.
have been.
Well, then was it really an official Iowa State Fair talent
One
event?
Wonders. One wonders. Wonders. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Uh-huh. Eclipse Day. We had some sun songs. For you.
We did.
During
we
the
did.
Break, I was kind of, you know, looking at some other ones. Age of Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. Come
sure.
on.
These are all great tambourine songs, too, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, my gosh. And then, you know, You Are My Sunshine, My
Own. Oh, sure.
Come on.
We're going to need another eclipse. You need to write these down for, when's the next one coming?
Like 44.
20, 40 more years?
Yeah, no, 44. 20 years. 20
okay.
years. We'll be around.
My next 20 years, I'm going to see the dang eclipse.
We'll probably still be doing this.
Well, if we're lucky, man,
if
we
we're
will.
Lucky.
Yes, sir. Yes,
if
sir.
If we're lucky. That's right. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory is here. Kerry, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine. Just fine. All right. Let's jump into it. I know that, man, with everything that is going on, kick us off with May corn.
Yeah, May corn. You know, we closed today 435 half. I've got a two-sided framework, really, all the way into May expiration between 426 even support below the market, 450 half ceiling of resistance above the market. We could trade inside of that zone for the next few weeks. If we close above 450 half at the end of this week, which is not likely, but if so, 483 half, then likely within 2 to 3, 3 to 5 weeks or so. And that is our long-term price ceiling, dropping weekly. It's about an eight-month channel top on the weekly chart. Can contain buying through summer, and below which a clearly defined bear market remains in control. If we can close above 483 half in the coming month, two or three, and just a reminder that the July contract will also inherit that price point, then I see the summer rally play out. 2 to 3 months later, we should make our way into the upper $5 area. 585 mm-hmm. even would be a 2 to 3 month target if we can close above 483 half over the next month or two. Until then, we're in this two-sided framework, and closing below 426 even is certainly possible given the longer-term bearish dynamic. And if we do close below 426 even, I think that sets off another meaningful sell-off, 385 even, then likely within a month or two. And we could, as we continue into later summer, fall all the way to 343 even. Let's move on to May feeder cattle. I had a sell signal a couple of weeks ago that is continuing to play out. We are now approaching our target midterm support, 235 even. The low today was 236 and a quarter. We closed 237.17. 235 even is a floor of support that can contain, I'm going to call it midterm support, able to contain selling through spring. And that'll take us through the May contract into the next contract out, and above which 252 even in reach over the next 3 to 5 weeks. And over the next 2 to 3 months, we could make our way all the way back up to that 267.32 long-term resistance area that we tested last September and held beautifully for that downdraft down to December. If we close this week below 235 even, I expect 225 even within about 2 to 3 more weeks. That is long-term support. Four-year channel bottom we tested last December, held nicely. We rallied off of it. That's a retest then. If we close below 235 even, that 225 even long-term support, able to contain selling through the rest of the year, and if settled below, would mark a good high for the broader feeder cattle market through the rest of the year. I would expect meaningful downside then as we move into later year. And finally, I've got to mention crude oil because of its direct or indirect association really with heating oil and diesel. And we've had several near-term buy signals over the last couple of months, approaching now long-term resistance at 89.93. We're in the 86 handle presently, so we could test 89.93 this week, but I think over the next couple of weeks anyway, that 89.93 level can contain buying through summer. And from there, we can fall away into the lower 80s within a couple of months, and even lower, perhaps, as we move into later year. If, however, we close above 89.93 at the end of the week, and this level is also dropping weekly, 99 even expected within 1 to 2 months. And honestly, I think the low 110s, 111 even, would be a realistic 3 to 5 month target if we close any week above 89.93. Until then, that is the short sale area as we move into summer trade, 82.60 in reach within a few weeks of testing 89.93. And over the following couple of months, 80.40, where we could bottom out on a monthly basis and a significant downside continuation point into summer activity. And I think that pretty much rounds it out, Chip.
All right. Very good, Kerry. Thank you. Don't forget, go to artacadvisory.com, artacadvisory.com, and Kerry will get you signed up for a 2-week free trial. All right. Thank you, Chip. Thanks, Kerry. Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. You know.
Yes.
There's all kinds of...
Uh-huh. There's that one, yes.
Got all kinds of good stuff. This one really fits with the 6 to 10 day.
Oh.
For April 14th through the 18th. We've got above normal temperatures. Above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt. Of course, we're also looking at above normal precipitation across the entire Corn Belt. So that's the 6 to 10 day. And the 8 to 14, the above normal temperatures stick around. No question about that. And so does the above normal precip. Wow. Thank you so much for listening today. Appreciate it. Come back tomorrow morning.